We see it in our own lives. We see it in this world. But the Apostle Paul says, just as Adam brought all to condemnation, Christ brings all righteousness. His holiness and perfection is enough for the entire world and for you. So you never have to wonder, am I righteous before God? When Christ lived in your place. And credits to you that obedience as he defeated the enemy and followed his Father's will. And so God says, you have that gift of righteousness, that abundant provision of grace. It's more than enough. We could spend our lives trying to cover our guilt by presenting ourselves as righteous. But we are those who have trespassed against God, and we cannot mend that curse. So our shepherd, Jesus, the one obedient man, the one exception, steps in and credits to you that gift of his righteousness.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, February 22nd, 2026, Romans 5:12-19.
That first man, Adam, ruined it all, didn't he? We read about it. We saw how, because of his sin, the world was corrupted. We read and saw how the Apostle Paul says, corruption, death came to all because all sinned in Adam. It all happened at that very beginning of time when he and Eve rebelled against the Lord. In the garden, they succumbed to the devil's temptations. In paradise, with all the trees to themselves, all them for food, they chose to disobey with that one command. They broke God's will and his word, and they sinned. And everything from there on was ruined. Oh, but Adam and Eve seemed to have a plan to fix it, right? Their plan was to basically run and hide and try to sew fig coverings for themselves to cover themselves. It's not going to fix it, is it? The shame, the guilt can't be covered by mere fig leaves or by hiding from the presence of God. What God would do after he would confront them for their sin, invite them to repent, what God would do is he would come to them and he would let them know, even though they now were shut out from righteousness and holiness, God would still meet their needs. In fact, it began as, you see, those fig leaves they sowed weren't very suitable. So God, it says, took the skin of an animal and made clothing for them. God covered them. But God had a plan to provide a far greater covering than simply animal skins for his people. That was just a sign, a picture of what he was going to do, his plan for them and for the whole world. God was going to give them just what they needed. Today we continue our series looking at how our shepherd provides our needs. And he supplies all of our needs. And we'll look today especially on how he meets our need of a covering of righteousness. We'll look at that as we consider the words once again recorded in Romans chapter 5. Paul refers back to that event. He says, through one man, sin entered the world. And this way death came to all people, because all sinned. In Adam, we are all counted as sinners. You might say, well, how's that fair? Because Adam had a command to break. He was told, don't do this, and he broke it. What about the rest of the world? Well, Paul makes sure that we understand. To be sure, sin was in the world, even though there was not a law given like Adam had, a spoken command. But we see it. He says, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses when the Ten Commandments were given. Sin was in the world. Even though they didn't have the single command, the spoken word, they still were breaking God's commands written on their hearts. They still were of Adam, sinners, doomed to die. We see that on the pages of Scripture. You look and you see the first children of Adam and Eve, how one kills another in the raging pile of sin continues up. And even if no one kills you, we see in chapter 5 of Genesis, and then he died, and then he died, and then he died. Well, they almost live maybe even 1,000 years, some of them, but still, death, its horrible ugliness reigns over them, and it catches up, and they must bow the knee to death. And then he died, because they're all under the curse. And still today, we don't like to think about it. But if some of you came on the Ash Wednesday service, we're able to reflect on that together with our group. Dust you are, and to dust you will return. It won't do to try to cover ourselves. We might try to put on clothing or perfume, but it can't cover what we receive from Adam, a heart doomed to die. The Apostle Paul outlines what came with Adam. It was not just that death came. Also through Adam came condemnation. God put this world under a curse and under his judgment because of sin. Adam and Eve could not go back to paradise and could not eat of the tree of life because they were under the curse as God's enemies. And we see throughout this world, all throughout time, the terrible picture and result of Adam's sin. You don't have to teach, sorry children, but you don't have to teach a little child how to be selfish or how to attack another person or how to put themselves above others. You don't have to teach a youth how to make sure that they are the center of their universe and not God or others. And I'm sure you've experienced it too. How hard it is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and all of your mind and strength. Because in Adam, we have a sinful heart, and with Adam, we stand condemned under God. And the picture here is horrible because it says, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, and still to this day. Death reigned? Can you picture death as like a tyrant sitting on its throne? And death ruling over the whole world, decreeing, you are in my domain. We can't escape. But Paul takes a picture here. Remember last time when we gathered, we looked at the zeal of God, the zeal he has to save this world. God saw this world condemned under the reign of death, cast outside of his presence. And so he came to supply our need. Jesus, the Son of God, who is sometimes called the second Adam, stepped into this world. He came down from heaven, and he came down not because he had fallen like Adam had. He came down because we had fallen. And Jesus, the holy, perfect Son of God, took on human flesh. And unlike Adam, who was in paradise, we see him as he begins his ministry, cast out into the wilderness, hungry, alone, and confronting the enemy once again. And the devil had every time, always, without fail, been able to get every son of Adam to fall into sin, but not this one. Jesus, the Christ, God's chosen, was the one exception. The devil tried and was tempting him for those 40 days. We read of three prominent examples, but he could not even with his heart, get him to turn aside from worshiping the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, lived in perfect obedience and righteousness. Jesus, the Holy Son of God, continued to live with perfect righteousness, never failing. Conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin, he did not receive from Adam a sinful heart. But he, in perfect righteousness, went all the way to another garden. Can you picture him in that garden? In that garden, he invites his friends to come with him because he's overwhelmed with sorrow, knowing the condemnation and curse hanging over them all. And they fall asleep. And there he is once again alone in that garden. His face is down in the dirt and he's crying out, Father, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering away, this curse, this condemnation. But with perfect obedience, the Son of God does not turn aside. He says, your will be done. And he steps up with perfect righteousness, keeping the Father's plan. Because in Adam, we all die. In Adam, we are under the curse. In Adam, we stand judged. But in that man, Jesus Christ, Paul says, how much more, through the obedience of the one man, will we receive that gracious gift? And he says, the gift of righteousness. the gift of the righteousness will reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ. God did not simply give us animal coverings. He came down to give us what we lacked. We lacked righteousness. We see it in our own lives. We see it in this world. But the Apostle Paul says, just as Adam brought all to condemnation, Christ brings all righteousness. His holiness and perfection is enough for the entire world and for you. So you never have to wonder, am I righteous before God? When Christ lived in your place. And credits to you that obedience as he defeated the enemy and followed his Father's will. And so God says, you have that gift of righteousness, that abundant provision of grace. It's more than enough. In fact, if Adam's single sin is enough to make the whole world fall into death and judgment, how much greater the act of obedience and righteousness of Jesus Christ that covers every trespass and sin, because he clothes you in his righteousness. And remember that tyrant death? That tyrant that condemns us all and we stand helpless under his reign? The Apostle Paul says, how much more then with God's gift of righteousness won't we reign in life? The same one man who died for sin showed his power over death in rising and conquering the grave. So that we know that death, the old tyrant, is gone. And in our needs being met with righteousness, we also now are freed from death and have life in Jesus. We could spend our lives trying to come up with our own coverings. We could, like Adam and Eve, try to run and hide, but it catches up. Death catches up. We could spend our lives trying to cover our guilt by presenting ourselves as righteous, but we are those who have trespassed against God, and we cannot mend that curse. So our shepherd, Jesus, the one obedient man, the one exception, steps in and credits to you that gift of his righteousness so we can stand before God fully clothed. I want to read for you a picture from Isaiah, the prophet, as Isaiah describes what the Lord has done for his people in supplying their need. This is from Isaiah 61. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. That joy begins today because of the one man, Jesus, who has justified us and has declared us who trust in him free from sin, innocent in his sight, and has clothed us through baptism in his righteous robe and made us his own. We now stand with all of our needs met. In zeal, he has given us what we lack, his perfect righteousness. Amen.